This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Our radio program is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. President Obama on Tuesday announced a list of 273 incarcerated people to whom he has given clemency. Among them was the famous whistleblower Chelsea Manning, who is serving a 35-year sentence for leaking military documents to WikiLeaks. Manning, who has been the victim of torture while in custody, had fought hard for her right to a gender reassignment surgery. She had reportedly attempted suicide over the last several months. A broad movement to free her had galvanized public sympathy, culminating in a social media campaign this past week called #HugsForChelsea. While activists are celebrating a hard-won victory, not everyone is happy. House Speaker Paul Ryan denounced Obama's decision as, quote, outrageous and setting a, quote, dangerous precedent. On Wednesday, Obama defended his move in a press conference. My guest is Kevin Gostola. He is the managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. He's been closely following the case of Chelsea Manning for years. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So as far as we know, Chelsea Manning will be freed on May 17th of this year. And by the way, also freed, another high-profile person freed on that same date is the Puerto Rican political prisoner Oscar Lopez Rivera. We'll be covering his story on our program tomorrow with Rosa Clemente. So first of all, this is a commutation of the sentence, not a pardon, right? A pardon is where a conviction is erased. A commutation is where essentially a president would say, you've served enough time and your sentence was too harsh, so I'm just kind of ending it, cutting it short. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yeah, so for all the people who are irate and incensed by Obama's decision, like particularly Paul Ryan, who is a Speaker of the House, this is not a pardon. Obama didn't say she didn't commit crimes.
So the sentence itself was 35 years. And we also, of course, should remind ourselves that under President Obama, we saw some of the harshest enforcements of the Espionage Act, some of the strongest prosecutions of whistleblowers, even news journalists. Is this, you think, President Obama's attempt to maybe soften his legacy on that front just a little bit?
I believe that what Obama is doing here might be more of a kind of, I guess you could say maybe technocratic way of managing his legacy on leaks. Because if you look on paper, she was given one of the most severe sentences ever adjudged to any person. This is what her attorneys have said, but is also accurate in the sense that there aren't any other cases where someone was ever sentenced to 35 years in prison or leaking, even when convicted of multiple offenses, as she was Espionage Act related. We have a case of Jeffrey Sterling, who's a CIA whistleblower who's in prison. He was convicted of multiple offenses. He's only serving a 42-month sentence in a federal prison. And so there aren't really any other comparable cases. And so I think that the Justice Department and Obama looked at her case and said mercy would be warranted because, in retrospect, this is a very severe sentence.
And there are several very important circumstances to her imprisonment. One, that of course she is a transgender woman serving a sentence in a male prison, which can be, I mean, it's just, you know, seems unimaginably difficult. And also that before, even before she was convicted, during her time in prison, she was said to have been subjected to very consistent levels of torture, constantly being required to undress and, spend time in solitary confinement. Do you think that those also were a factor in the suffering that she was made to endure in those early years?
They're possible factors. They aren't factors that the Obama administration gave for making their decision, but I don't think that we can discount the fact that she was abused and some say subjected to a treatment that amounted to torture. I mean, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Juan Mendez, categorized it as cruel and inhuman treatment when she was held at the Quantico Marine Brig during her pretrial detention. A military judge gave her some days credit, some good days credit that she was able to reduce her sentence by after she was sentenced. And so when she was in the Leavenworth prison these past few years, it has been very, very difficult for her, especially because she is a transgender person, especially because there isn't mental health treatment that can address many of the problems that she's dealing with. And when she committed, when she tried to commit suicide twice in 2016, the first time, the way the U.S. Army responded to it was to punish her, was to, in fact, give her time in solitary confinement for what she did. She spent some days in solitary confinement, which probably made her situation and what she's been going through even worse. And so it's what you really can say is that Barack Obama made a decision that potentially saved the life, that everyone participating in this global campaign to free Chelsea Manning can probably take credit for saving the life of Chelsea Manning.
Let's talk about the impact of what it was she did. I mean, one of the major reasons why such a mass movement came to her defense was the heroic and courageous act that she undertook in leaking the war logs of the U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to WikiLeaks. This was a very huge data dump. Obviously, she risked her life in doing so, but how much of that should be viewed through the lens of her having done a very serious public service?
Well, absolutely. As a journalist, I used all of this information that Chelsea Manning put out in my reports. It benefited my coverage of wars in Iraq, wars in Afghanistan. I was able to publish posts about U.S. diplomats, you know, things like, for example, Ali Abdullah Saleh in Yemen being willing to claim that our drone strikes were actually bombs that were coming from the Yemen government, not from the United States. Things related to, as many have mentioned, the Arab Spring, things involving corruption of autocratic dictatorships that we were cozy with, things involving representing corporations, the State Department shilling for corporations in, and then also being able to see what the military actually thought about every single detainee that is held at Guantanamo Bay, and being able to tell just how fabricated this intelligence was against what, you know, we now know is over 90% of people ever imprisoned at Guantanamo were innocent, that they had absolutely nothing on them. And so this is a very big deal. What she did had a great impact on our understanding of world events, particularly under the Bush administration when it comes to wars, and then also when it comes to diplomacy, the way the United States commits diplomacy around the world.
Hmm. What role do you think that the campaigning by so many different organizations had in pushing President Obama? I mean, on the one hand, it's easy to give President Obama entirely the credit. But should we? I mean, you know, would he have done this had there not been this massive movement, really an international movement, to demand her freedom?
The credit is all due to the global campaign to free her. It's due to the people who represent her, the work of her attorneys. It's due to people at the Fight for the Future campaign, like Evan Greer, the many people who were advocates, people like Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers whistleblower. It's due to people like Freedom of the Press Foundation. It's due to the Center for Constitutional Rights. People like Michael Ratner, who unfortunately passed away last year and is not here, was not here on January 17th to celebrate. It's partially due to the work of WikiLeaks, but that was not an influential factor in the administration's decision to show mercy to Chelsea Manning. But all the people, especially the LGBT,
the ACLU as well, right, by the way.
Yeah, the ACLU, not to leave them out. And her lawyers there at the ACLU that took up her cause related to gender identity disorder and related to getting equal and fair treatment behind bars because she's a transgender woman. And those sorts of advocates, the people who have been sustaining protests for the last 6 or 7 years. The people who, going all the way back to 2011, when she was first abused in Quantico, stuck their necks out, whether they were in groups like Veterans for Peace or other peace activist groups. Those people deserve a lot of credit for this moment, for forcing Barack Obama to release her, because ultimately, he didn't do this because he sympathizes with what Chelsea Manning did. He did this because he's looking at the paper and he's seeing that possibly an error was made and it is worth correcting.
And you were also mentioning the LGBTQ advocacy groups that that also participated.
Yeah, absolutely. All of them that spoke up, especially after she was convicted. You know, unfortunately, the record shows that most of them didn't care all that much about Chelsea Manning until after she was she declared herself to be Chelsea Manning and no longer Bradley Manning when she made that transition to being a woman. But in the latter part, a lot of them came around to her story and became sympathetic and were advocates and spoke up for her. And that, I think, went a long way towards making her a case that wasn't just this anti-war case anymore. It started to make it more palatable, I believe, to the mainstream. And you started to read Chelsea Manning interviews in magazines like Cosmopolitan, and you started to see outlets give her much more attention. And you saw many celebrities come to her cause. And I think that's not only because of the LGBTQ groups, but it's also because all of these people who were involved in campaigning for her never gave up. And perhaps they didn't believe that Barack Obama was going to do this for her on January 17th, but they definitely kept pushing and fighting and wanted to make sure that Chelsea Manning was given some sort of hope, because they understood the consequences of what would happen if Donald Trump was president, that this would not be something that he would consider at all during his presidency.
And, you know, so we gave credit to, or at least acknowledged the hard work of all of these incredible organizations, the mass movement. We should also, of course, give credit to Chelsea herself. I mean, she's not just a victim. What's remarkable over the last several years is that she used whatever means that were available to her to speak out. She didn't just remain silent. She continued to not just speak out about her case, but also, more importantly, I think, to make some strong political statements. I mean, she was writing in The Guardian, she was tweeting, right? How important was that?
So I'd go back all the way to February 28th, 2013, during her court martial, before her trial, and she gave this statement that laid out all of her reasons for why she selected the sets of documents and why she chose to release the collateral murder video. And that was a powerful day for people who were supporters. It was a powerful day for her because it made it possible for her to show that there was agency behind what she had chosen to do, that this wasn't somebody just responding to frustration within the military, that she wasn't just upset about don't ask, don't tell, that she wasn't just frustrated with gender issues and dealing with, you know, whether she was transgender or not. The fact is that she looked at this information and had conscientious issues with what she was reading and wanted the public to know this information. And then you fast forward, and that, I think, informed everything that she did from that point forward, that she was always honest to herself as well as the public, that when she had the opportunity to get published by The Guardian, to publish columns, to speak to reporters, when she was able to work around restrictions, heavy restrictions to Leavenworth Prison, so that she could get her story out, she talked to those people. She corresponded with me. I exchanged letters with her, and she shared some stories about her experiences within the prison. And whenever she had the opportunity, she stood up for herself and made sure people knew what she was going through as far as her struggle was inside of the military prison at Leavenworth, and also as far as what she went through since she was detained for the leaks.
We should also remind ourselves, Chelsea Manning is incredibly young. I mean, she just turned 29. She's not even 30. And, you know, the last, 7 or so years of her life behind bars have been the majority of her 20s. And it'll be remarkable to see what she emerges as on May 17th of this year, and what the rest of her life and her career and her, you know, sort of activism and values manifest as. And I think certainly those people who said hashtag hugs for Chelsea are probably going to hope to be able to give her hugs in person. Any thoughts on what you hope will happen after May?
I think that Chelsea has a bright future. She definitely has hope now. So we know that she's going to make it. She'll get out of prison on May 17th. And hopefully she'll do some of what has already made her an influential figure. She'll continue to write. I'm sure she'll land at a media outlet, whether it's The Intercept, which has supported her, or some other organization. Or maybe she'll choose to just take some time for herself. I mean, I'm very moved by what she wrote to President Obama when she pled for clemency. And she said she wanted a first chance at life. And she really believes that she never got a chance before the U.S. Army to live as the person that she wanted to be. So now she's Chelsea Manning. She made a very difficult decision to be a woman within a male prison, within a patriarchal institution called the U.S. military. And she stood for transgender rights and actually, I think, made some gains for transgender people in the military in the process of her struggle. And looking forward, I believe that she's going to take some time for herself to do self-care, to finally take advantage of having real access to mental health treatment that she could really use in order to become whole and to heal. Because this has been we don't want to just treat her as a victim, but the reality is that she has not had a chance to heal because of the tremendous punishment that this United States government has meted out to her. And so now that she's been given mercy, she has a chance to heal.
Kevin, several people immediately said, thank you, Obama, for doing what you did. Now, what about Edward Snowden? Some have even said, what about Julian Assange? There are varying opinions on where those two stand in terms of either punishment meted out to them or how much they deserve the kind of clemency Chelsea Manning got. Do you have any thoughts on those two figures?
What I would say is, first, it is true that Barack Obama pit the two individuals against each other, at least in the public statements. The White House press secretary said that because Chelsea Manning faced the music, essentially, that she did not ever flee from the army like Edward Snowden, in their opinion, that she deserved to be shown this clemency. Edward Snowden, on the other hand, I think should be treated as a different case. I don't believe we should be lumping the two together. And I think Edward Snowden has a set of reasons why he deserves a pardon. There is no evidence to suggest that he can come back to the United States, give his arguments in a courtroom about why he blew the whistle on NSA mass surveillance and the unconstitutional conduct of our intelligence services, and actually be given a fair trial, actually be given a chance to make his case. The Justice Department will shut those arguments down. That's something to be considered. I think people who want him to have a pardon have to keep fighting for that pardon. And they know that. They know that in these last couple of days, even though there's little hope, they'll keep pushing at Obama to give Snowden a pardon. And then also, as far as Julian Assange, I know that he said he would turn himself in because Barack Obama showed mercy to Chelsea Manning. But also, he has taken that back and walked it back just a little bit. It's unclear what Julian Assange is particularly trying to do. But he has his own set of circumstances because the U.S. government has criminalized WikiLeaks as a media organization. And those issues will continue to be existent under Donald Trump's administration. There will be a legacy of Barack Obama's administration from criminalizing WikiLeaks, from pursuing whistleblowers, from infringing upon press freedom that we all will have to deal with after Chelsea Manning is freed.
Right. I mean, he doesn't erase that entire legacy through his commutation of her sentence. I should add, of course, President Obama has become the president with the most clemency, most commutations of any president in U.S. history. So a total of 273 commutations, about 1,300 clemency recipients, it's certainly quite remarkable. A lot of that for federal prisoners who have been victims of the drug war. But certainly, he in the last few days of his presidency, we're seeing some interesting actions. Kevin, I want to thank you so much for joining us. We need your journalism more than ever in the Trump era. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Kevin Gostola is my guest. He's managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.